Into hour number two. Welcome back. Or a very good Friday to you. My name is Jim Rome. You are in the jungle. It is great to have you here. We had Oakland A's utility player. And I say that because he doesn't really have a position. He can play any position you ask him to play and play it well. Mark Canna, we had him last segment. I've got Buffalo Bills offensive lineman Tyan Seki coming up later on, about 15 minutes out. Anthony Barr, next hour. Program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, your phone number is 1-800-636-8686. Lots of things to get done on this Friday, and you've got a really good slate of games coming up this weekend. I will be in New York for the NFL on CBS on Sunday. I'm looking forward to getting back and doing that program. Please look for that. And in terms of the games on Sunday, there are great matchups, but to me, it's already time to talk about Monday. Browns v. Jets. Sam Darnold v. Mono. Well, actually, he's already lost that battle against the makeout disease, at least as it relates to this week. So instead, it's Baker v. Trevor Siemian. Odell v. Greg. OBJ v. Triple G. Huh? I'm not sure what was the more unlikely topic that we'd be hitting on at this point. Sam Darnold missing multiple games because of mono. Trevor Siemian trying to save the Jets season. Or Odell Beckham versus the Jets defensive coordinator. Odell v. Greg is the title fight here. But a quick note on the undercard. Do not come up in here and start in about how the Jets are cursed. Look, I know how rare it is for an NFL quarterback to get mono and how brutal it is for that quarterback to be expected to miss multiple games because of mono and how tough it would be to face the Browns, the Patriots, the Eagles, maybe the Cowboys, and the Pats again with Trevor Siemian. I get all that. It doesn't mean the Jets are cursed. They're not. They're just the Jets. So don't get that twisted. Now that that's out of the way, let's get to Odell. Odell had some thoughts about facing the Jets and Greg Williams. Those thoughts go back to the 2017 preseason where he suffered a sprained ankle. A sprained ankle as a result of a hit from a Browns DB.
The only thing I'm buying is, you know, probably just got to watch out for the cheap shots and the dirty hits and all the things that he likes to teach. That's pretty much all we got to watch out for. Other than that, I expect the same. Too high safety. I don't expect much man-to-man. I don't expect none of that.
That's a really pointed statement that he could not wait to get to. So Beckham took issue with the hit and with the fact that that came during the preseason and with the fact that he says that Browns players who were on the team at that time said that Greg Williams actually told them to do stuff like that.
Like in preseason, like nobody in the NFL is really out to do stuff like that. I had players on this team telling me that that's what he was telling them to do. Take me out of the game in this preseason. So you just know who he is. Just the man. That's the man. Call him the players.
You know who he is, you know what he does, you know what he's about. Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm not sure, Odell. I mean, really? Greg Williams? That Greg Williams was telling his players to knock guys out of the game. Not Triple G. The Greg Williams I know is not about that life. I mean, come on, man. That is blasphemous. The Greg Williams that I know would not want to take Odell Beckham out of a preseason game with an ankle injury. Let me tell you about the Greg Williams I know.
He'll hit, the body will die. Little wide receiver, number 10, about his concussion. You're going to lick on every single one of you before you get off the pile. Affect the head.
Kill the head, the body will die.
Continue. Touch and hit the head. We're going to kill the head.
To make sure we kill Frank Gore's head.
Early. Affect the head.
We want his head sideways. He has no idea what he's in for. Go get that on the sideline.
You see, the Greg Williams I know would not be trying to get guys out of the game with a low hit. He'd want them going high. He's not looking to affect the ankle. He's looking to affect the head. In that preseason game, did he specifically tell guys to go out there and take out Odell Beckham? I don't know. I wasn't there. But I could see where Odell might think that. And you sure as hell can't say that it doesn't sound like something that Greg Williams would do. This is a guy whose most famous contribution to the sport of football is the quote, affect the head.
Affect the head.
You're telling me that a guy who once said, kill the head and the body will die. Kill the head and the body will die.
Kill the head, the body will die. Kill the head, the body will die.
Are you telling me that that same guy, and he said it, you heard the tape. Are you telling me that same guy would only save that mentality for the regular season or the postseason? I mean, does Greg Williams sound like a guy who only dials it up from week one on? Hell no. Preseason football is football to Greg Williams. If there are helmets, pads, and a ball, it is football to Greg Williams. It's not an organized scrimmage or a glorified walkthrough. He's not looking for guys to go half speed. He's not there to coast through anything or half-ass anything. And this is the weird thing that always happens when Triple G's name comes up. There's always an army of people who want to jump up and defend this guy. And on some level, like, I almost get it. I almost get it. Because from the sound of it, he inspires a lot of loyalty from his current and former players. And they would have you believe that he only wants his defense to dominate, to smash the opposition, to take them out of the game, either mentally or physically. But he wants them to do it in a clean way. And the people who claim that he teaches cheap shots and dirty hits are just wrong and they don't know what they're talking about. And then these same people tie themselves in knots when the audio comes out. And the audio is out there. And then people try to say, yeah, well, you just don't understand what he's saying. Again, we're talking about a guy who said, quote, we've got to do everything in the world to make sure we kill Frank Gore's head.
To make sure we kill Frank Gore's head.
Kill Frank Gore's head. That's not a metaphor. That's not Triple G talking about, like, kill the head of a snake. He's talking specifically about Frank Gore's head. That's literal. That's not kill the head of the snake. That's kill Frank Gore's head, his actual head. So when you hear that audio, and when you know Greg's track record, it's kind of hard to say that he wouldn't say that about Beckham. It's kind of hard to say that what Beckham is saying might not be true. Like, I don't know that he specifically told his guys to sprain Beckham's ankle and sideline him, but I certainly can't say that he wouldn't say that. You want to claim that the guy who said, quote, every single one of you, before you get off the pile, affect the head. Early affect the head. Continue to touch and affect the head.
Affect the head.
Are you going to tell me that that guy wouldn't say or do what Beckham described? Is affecting heads when you get off the pile, quote, good, clean football? Is affecting the head after the whistle not a cheap shot? Is that not a dirty move? So, all of that said, how is it inconceivable that the guy who said all of that would encourage his guys to take Odell Beckham out of a preseason game? Look, I'm not exactly sure what the debate is here. There really is no controversy. No, I wasn't there, so I guess I don't know per se, but I know who I believe in this case, and it's not Triple G or his army. It's double L, Odell. I'm more likely to believe that Triple G has had numerous NFL head coaching opportunities that he didn't even need to interview for than I am to believe that he didn't order the code red on ODB. Hey, Odell, you know what's up. You know what's up, Odell. While the entire world is focusing on your ticker Monday night, you keep your head on a swivel, my man.
We want his head sideways.
Keep your head on a swivel. because I got a feeling they might be trying to affect your head.
We're going to kill the f***ing head.
Kill the bleeping head. There's your main card for Monday. The big showdown. What's going to happen? 1-800-636-8686. Does that really surprise anybody at all that he was telling his guys to take a guy out in a preseason game, knowing his track record, knowing what he said, knowing what he's done? Come on. We'll talk to Buffalo Bills offensive tackle Ty Insecki next segment. Anthony Barr coming up in hour number three. I've got thoughts on Urban Meyer, who's already making noise about maybe coming back next year. Flight deck's in the house. This email reads, "Hey, Adam, I think these Dasmati emails are hilarious. Keep them coming. SC in H-Town." Dasmati. I wonder if Dasmati lies in bed at night staring at the ceiling in darkness. I wonder if he did when he worked here, thinking to himself, "Man, I'm pissing my life away. What am I doing? What am I doing? Man, I've got to have the courage, the heart, to follow my dream. This is not who I am. This is not what I want to do. I'm going to die with regrets. What am I doing on that radio show?" This says, "Hey, Rome, inspect the shed." Signed, Dasmati, reviewing building permits. Mike in Buffalo, helping him. This email says, "Sorry, Jaime, the Dasmati emails are funny." Stephen S.A. I mean, I guess you could argue that it's not funny. It's a little bit ironic, right? I know a lot of people want to be in the entertainment business. I know a lot of people want to be in the sports content production business. I know a lot of people would look at this as an opportunity like, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of it's a historic show. The guy hosting the show, incredibly enough, is going into the Radio Hall of Fame. There's only like 4 or 5 chairs on the other side of the glass. I would imagine those chairs are pretty hard to get. Guys who sit in those chairs typically sit in them 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years. I'm Dasmati. I'm in one of those chairs. I'm not even sure how I got in the door to begin with, but here I am. Here the hell I am, living the dream.
Here we are.
No, I'm not. This is not my dream. This is not my life. I'm not made for this. I don't want to do this. I'm a coward. I need to have the conviction to follow my dreams. And it's my dream to work in city government. Those local business licenses will not renew themselves. And if I keep my nose to the grindstone, and I have the courage and the conviction to follow this dream, one day I might get a job at the Department of Water and Power. I'm Robert Dasmati, damn it. I'm not going to waste my life working for Rome or that crappy radio program he hosts. I'm out of here, yo. Where do they sell gigantic scissors? I'll never forget the first time I ran those blades through that red ribbon. It was like butter. That gold shovel going into the dirt as we broke ground on that new playground. The dirt flying through the air when I threw it over my shoulder. The novelty hard hat. Me beaming and getting my picture on some local website. Every day is beautiful. Mike D for 3 tweets. Dasmati leaving to willingly attend local government meetings filled with crotchety geriatrics is pretty funny, actually. Matt in Vancouver. Count me among the people who love crushing that puffy Ross Dasmati. Hey, Rome, I'm Team Hawk in this. Being employed in county government, I have seen the incredible, fast-paced, exhilarating life of local cubicle government. Rome, I appreciate you. I always have. But leaving the jungle to rub elbows with city politicians is hilarious. Shay and SLO, Ty Insecki joins me when we come back. Man, Dasmati. Dela's got something extra for small businesses, up to 45% off during their semi-annual sale. It is a perfect time to update to Windows 10 with huge deals on business computers featuring Intel Core processors and free shipping on everything. Call small business technology advisors who can help you achieve your business goals affordably with low monthly payments on the right tech for you. Just call 877-BUY-DELL. 877-BUY-DELL. Visit dell.com/businessdeals for semi-annual sales savings. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Week two of the NFL on CBS begins with an AFC Eastern showdown between the Pats and the Dolphins. Then travel west to watch Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs battle the Raiders in Oakland. It all begins with the NFL Today on CBS. Some good matchups there, with a lot of intrigue as well. All right, so I am efforting Ty Insecki. I will find him momentarily. In the meantime, let me very quickly reset a few things for you. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Got Anthony Barr coming up next hour. Alvin's Week That Was is coming up next hour. I will be in New York City for the NFL on CBS on Sunday. I'd love for you to watch that, if you don't mind. That's 12 noon Eastern and 9 Pacific. We talked about last night's game. Man, that was a Thursday night game if there ever was one. That was unwatchable. Carolina's 0-2. Not only are they 0-2, and that's concerning enough, but Cam Newton does not look like Cam Newton. And honestly, he hasn't looked like Cam Newton in a while. In college football, if you had September 12th on your ticket, go ahead, cash that bet. Because September 12th appears to be the first time that Urban Meyer has publicly talked about coaching next season. Herb told Cleveland.com, quote, "That only thing that still gets me a little bit is, am I making an impact? That's what I miss more than anything. I miss winning, and I miss that. That's the only thing I think about once in a while." End quote. Get a load of this guy. Making an impact. My man, you've already made an impact. You've already made too much of an impact, and not in a good way. But according to the article, the people who might keep him from returning to coaching are the ones who gather in a classroom at Ohio State for his class on leadership and character. That's the class that Meyer is using to rehab his image. Co-teach after he quit coaching last season. You remember the season where he was suspended for 3 games? Remember that? For how he handled accusations of domestic abuse by one of his assistant coaches. Like somehow the guy who could remember every single play that he's ever called against Michigan couldn't remember key parts of the Zach Smith investigation because of medicine he takes. That same guy. He's got a job teaching a class on leadership and character. According to Cleveland.com, quote, "The class meets Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 12:25 p.m. He spoke 2 days before Hall that Wednesday, serving as his first appearance of the semester because of his Fox College football duties, but he'll be in once or twice a week the rest of the semester," end quote. Nothing screams leadership and character like showing up once or twice a week to teach leadership and character. And I already know what some of you apologists will say. Hey, Rome, that's not fair. He's co-teaching that class. He doesn't need to be there all the time. To which I would say, Urban Meyer has got absolutely no business being associated with the words leadership or character. And it's insulting to the world of academics that he's even co-teaching a class like that. When you look at his track record, I'm not even sure he should be a student in a class on leadership and character, let alone teaching or even co-teaching it. Well, now, in addition to not really teaching, he's also not really retired. Because when asked about possibly coaching next year, Meyer said, quote, "I'm not there at the moment. Like you said, next year, can I say that? We'll talk again next year, and we'll see, end quote. Now, sure, some of you will say, wow, only two games into his latest retirement, and he's already floating the idea of coming back. That's pretty fast. To which I would say, what took him so long? I would say this guy's getting a little slower in retirement. I actually expected this so-called breaking news to land right after the ball was kicked in the Canes-Gators game to start the season. Because the only thing more predictable than the Patriots signing Antonio Brown, than acting the way they have acted after signing Antonio Brown, is Urban Meyer announcing his retirement and then coming back a few weeks into his retirement. Then again, let's go back to when he retired. The first time. That was after the 09 SEC title game loss. Remember, he went to the hospital. He thought that he was having a heart attack. And he resigned. Only to change his mind a few hours later after being at a, quote, spirited practice with his players. And then he did actually retire from Florida 1 year later to spend time with his family, remember, and wave around that letter or that contract that he signed with his kids. Or was that letter or contract from his kids when he came back? I can't keep the Urban Meyer story straight. And neither can he, because when he retired from Florida to spend more time with his family, he then came back a few months later. Remember when he also said he did not like the state of college football at the end of his time in Florida? And that's pretty rich. When one Gator after another was being arrested. That was rich. That was weird. Almost as weird as his retirement last year. And as I said at that time, if you get fired three times in 9 years, that's a lot. If you retire three times in 9 years... well, I've got no idea what that is. And neither did Meyer. A reporter said, is this truly it for your football career? Herb started his response with, quote, it's a complicated question. Is it? Is it a complicated question? Because given your track record, you had to know that was coming. Quote, it's a complicated question, and I'll try to answer it the best I can. This is home. This is where I grew up. It isn't healthy, but I came to work every day with fear of letting people like Archie Griffin and the great state of Ohio down, because this is home. I'm a graduate of Ohio State. We have the best fans in the land. I didn't want to let them down, end quote. Because he was asked about it again, and when asked later if he believed that he wouldn't coach again, he said, quote, I believe I will not coach again. And then asked if he was certain, he responded, quote, fairly certain. And everybody not named Urban Meyer was fairly certain that he was going to come back. That's when all the Clay Helton jokes started. That's how predictable this all is and how unreliable he is. If Herb was the person that Herb thinks he is, this would be totally different. Unfortunately, he is not the guy he thinks he is. Because the moment Urban Meyer announced his retirement, everybody starts making jokes about what job he's going to get next. And now he'll start to float the availability again. He already is. So forgive me if I don't believe Urban Meyer when it comes to anything about anything other than football. If Urban Meyer says Urban Meyer will never coach again, I'm going to get a second opinion. Because it's impossible to trust Urban Meyer when Urban Meyer is talking about Urban Meyer. We've seen this time and time and time again. And he's already talking about next season. Two games in. Forgive me if that's not reliable. Forgive me if Urban Meyer is not a reliable source regarding Urban Meyer. It's starting already. Ask Tennessee. 1-800-636-8686. All right, when we come back, I found Ty Inseki. That's coming up next segment. Then Anthony Barr at the top. Still looking for a phone call or two to keep this thing moving. I mean, I've got this. But if you want to partake, 1-800-636-8686. Time now for a sports update. Here is the latest, bottom of hour number two. Jay Berman anchors.
Sports Radio.
Well, I am Jim Rome, moving through hour number two. Welcome back. Next hour, Vikings linebacker Anthony Barr, if you're on hold. Telephone calls coming up later on, but right now we are joined by an offensive lineman for the Buffalo Bills. He signed with the Bills back in March. He did not allow a sack at left tackle last season. He started his career with the Corpus Christi Sharks in AF2. He was undrafted in 2009 out of Texas State. The Bills are 1-0 on the year. They're at the Giants on Sunday. That is a CBS game. Ty Insecki is my guest. Ty, it's good to have you back on. How are you?
How you doing? How you doing?
Good, pleasure. Good. Ty, how
pleasure
about you?
On the radio again.
Good to have you on the radio again. All right, Ty, take me back to Sunday. Let me start right there because the game did not start great for the offense, but nobody gave up and then completely turns it around in the second half. Obviously, there might be a few things to clean up, but how much does scoring unanswered points on the road say about the mental toughness of your team?
Well, we knew going into the season through preseason that we were a mentally tough group, you know, because we had ebbs and flows during the preseason that helped build the mental makeup of the guys in the locker room. So, you know, nobody blinked an eye when we were down. You know, that's just a test to show how good our defense is. They were able to hold them and just, you know, wait till our offense got to clicking on the field and you know, we started putting points up.
Bills offensive lineman Ty Insecki is my guest. Now, your quarterback, Josh Allen, he had four turnovers in the first half, but then in the fourth quarter, he goes 8-for-10, 103 yards and a touchdown. How much did he show you in the way he bounced back from that tough first half?
Once again, you know, just the mental makeup of the guys in the locker room. It just showed how resilient, you know, of a bunch we are and how resilient of a group that we're able to withstand adversity, you know, in a hostile environment as New York and go out there and pull off the win.
Now, Ty, one more thing about your quarterback, Allen. Like you and I, the last time you were on the program, we talked quite a bit about how much time you've been around the sport, how much time you've been around the league. So what do you see in Allen that makes you feel like he might be special?
Man, he's a great leader. You know, he goes in there, nothing is too much. You know, they don't break down the playbook for him. The playbook is wide open. Just everything that you want in a franchise quarterback. You know, he got a big arm. He makes great decisions with the ball. And, you know, we just got to go out there and execute the offense this upcoming Sunday.
Now, in terms of ESPN stats, you tied for the league lead among tackles on Sunday with a 100% win rate in pass blocking, and you were huge in the two touchdown drives in the fourth quarter. So how good did it feel to play such an important role in that win?
You know, like I said before, once every time my number is called upon, you know, I just try to go out there and do my job. It felt great to get back out there. You know, every time I'm able to get on the field and play the sport that I love to play is a blessing. So, you know, I just look at it and thank the man above.
Ty Insecki is joining us. Now, you got a lot of new faces on that roster, and you're a part of that. So how do you go about getting everybody on the same page and look to develop an identity as quickly as possible? How does that work?
Man, you know, we got a lot of veterans in this group. So it's just bringing in the mentality that everybody has, you know, being tough and resilient and trying to build upon that. And, you know, just everybody coming together, you know, we're gelling. It takes time to actually gel and become a cohesive group. But I feel like we're getting there. We're getting there.
I'm talking about the Giants on Sunday, too. Ty, you're preparing to face them. As you get ready for the Giants, what is the biggest thing that jumps out to you?
We got to start off fast. You know, last week we started off pretty slow. We didn't execute when we were in the red zone. This week we're, you know, try to take advantage of the opportunities that we're given. So just try to go out there and execute the game plan to the best of our ability.
You know, Ty, when you and I spoke last time, I talked about your journey and how incredible it is. But it turns out it's even more amazing than I thought. And I want to be really careful and really sensitive in talking about this. But this journey that started with you not playing a ton of college ball and spending time with double-digit teams also includes some time in prison as the result of a misdemeanor and a bench warrant and some other complications. Can you share your thoughts on that? What was that time like for you in prison?
Man, that was a rough time in my life. You know, that was being at the bottom of life right there. You know, that was the time for me to reflect on where my life went wrong and what I was going to do when I got the opportunity to get my freedom back. So it gave me a lot of time to just sit and reflect and try to map out my goals and strategy on what I was going to do with the rest of my life.
Ty Inseki is my guest, and I would imagine as part of that reflection, you told the Buffalo News, quote, I went from being a highly recruited, highly touted football player in my town, in my state, to catching the bluebird to prison. I was like, damn, where'd I go wrong, end quote. So when that moment sunk in, when that finally sunk in, what was that like?
Man, that was a hard pill to swallow, you know. It just, it humbles you, you know. That was a real humbling experience just to be put in that situation, well, to put myself in that situation. And, you know, it was a real hard lesson that was learned. And, you know, I was able to, when I regained my freedom, you know, learn from my mistakes and fortunately not make those again.
Yeah, Ty, I appreciate you, and I appreciate you being open about that. I want to ask you one more thing because you have a comment that I thought was really striking. You said, quote, the whole reality setting in where you've got the correctional officer sitting up at the front with a shotgun and one behind me with a shotgun, and I'm riding to the penitentiary. I wanted to break down, but I'm not built like that, end quote. How did you keep it together? How did you go about not breaking down in that moment?
Well, that just goes to show my mental toughness. You know, I just know everything in life happens for a reason. And I just had to put my faith in God and just realize that, you know, this situation is only temporary. So in the meantime, I'm going to get through it. And when I get through it, you know, there'll be brighter days on the other side. So that just kept me motivated to keep it positive and try to get through it the best way I knew how.
So what kind of thoughts were you having about football? Was football on your radar at that time?
Not necessarily upon entry, but somewhat when I realized I was going home. Now I put back into action what my plan was going to be.
So when you go through something like that, I mean, you went through hell and you got back to where you are right now. You're playing in the NFL. You're playing at a really high level. If somebody's listening right now, Ty, and they feel like maybe they've hit rock bottom, they've made some mistakes, they're not sure where to turn, what to do, where to go, what to think, what would you say to that person?
And life can go in so many different directions. You know, just because you're at the point of life that you're at currently, that doesn't mean you have to end up there. So just take the if life gives you lemons, take the lemons and try to make them into lemonade. You know, take the cards that you're dealt and try to play the hand as best as you can. So never give up on what the situation is. Everything happens for a reason, and the reason, most times that reason is to make you a stronger person. It builds character when you go through adversity. So the better you can weather the storm and go through adversity, the better off you'll be as a person.
Ty Inseki is my guest. So you've got a couple of businesses, and then after you signed with the Bills, you bought your mother a house. And the story goes that when the two of you posed with the sold sign, she broke down in tears. What did that moment mean to you?
Man, that meant everything. That was my mother's first house. You know, for me to be able to give her first house, you know, that's a blessing, man, to come from everything that I've come from, everything I've dealt with in my past, to the pinnacle now, to being able to provide that opportunity for her and for myself. You know, it's just amazing, and I it's just a testament to God. Like, I just count my blessings every day.
There's even more, Ty. A few weeks back, you hosted a back-to-school event that provided backpacks, school supplies, mm-hmm. and haircuts to nearly 1,200 kids. That's an amazing mm-hmm. turnout, 1,200 children. What did it mean to you to see that many people show up? What do you remember about that day? What was that like?
Oh, man, you know, from it being an idea with my team to turn it into a reality, you know, that's a testament to my team and everybody who helped support the cause. And just the fact that 1,200 people came out and supported just shows how much of a need it was in the area. So it's just a blessing that I'm able to be put in this platform to provide that type of service for the needy or for the people who need it. It's just an amazing thing. Once again, it's a testament to God that, you know, I go from basically nothing to being able to provide for people. You know, that's an amazing thing. It's really an amazing thing. Every day I look up and I see what the things I'm capable of doing and the things that I'm doing actually in the community, and I just look at amazement, like, wow, it's just amazing.
I mean, Ty, it's that journey. Like I mentioned, when you and I spoke back in May, we talked about your journey, and I said it was amazing then, but your journey is even more amazing. Mm-hmm. So if you consider, if somebody had said to you 10 or 15 years ago that you would be in Buffalo playing for the Buffalo mm-hmm. Bills and having the kind of impact that you're having not only on that team but on that community, what would you have said 10 or 15 years ago?
10 or 15 years ago, I would say, stop lying to me. Like, I couldn't envision it 10 or 15 years ago. You know, it's just amazing how my road has wound and it landed me where I've landed. And it's just, you know, it's once again, I can't put it into words how it feels and how amazing it feels. Like, it's just surreal.
Right, so final thought, given where you've been, where you've played, and you've played a lot of different football in a lot of different places, what's it like playing in Buffalo, living in Buffalo, working in Buffalo, and doing it for the Bills Mafia, which loves that team no matter what?
Well, you know, this is a blue-collar town, and, you know, I feel like my temperament and my character fits right in with this area. You know, every day I put my nose down and go to work. Every day I'll try to perfect my craft, and that's the type of energy that I get from the area. So, you know, we mesh well, and I love it here, man. You know, Bills Mafia all day. Go Bills.
He's an offensive lineman with the Bills. He signed with them in March. He did not allow a sack at left tackle last season. Ty Nsekhe back in the jungle and catching up with us. Ty, it's great to have you back. I really appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
You got it, Ty. Thank you. Bills Mafia, 1-0. Nice come-from-behind victory last week. You've got the Giants coming up on Sunday. That is a CBS game. And I don't know if you knew about that journey completely. That's an amazing journey that he's had. All right, so our phone lines are open. Next hour, top of the segment, in fact, top of the hour, Anthony Barr, Minnesota Vikings linebacker, will be joining us. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, James Kelly, what's up? Always curious where you clones are going to go with what I've brought up for you to talk about. As an example, dear Jim, affect my head. Signed, Garrett Ritt at the hair transplant consultation.
Affect the head.
What, Ike rolled into that and said, affect my head. Give me hair.
It's lit!
I have follicular challenges. Affect my head.
Affect the head.
This guy signs his email, Nick Casillas in Westchester, California. Guy practically went government. He was so happy with that email. He was so proud. He's like, Nick Casillas, here's my social security number. Here's my address. Here's my California driver's license number. Here's my expiration date on my credit card. I bet if I asked Casillas, hey, what's your credit card number? What's the security number on the back? He probably would have given that to me, too. You know a dude is happy with his contribution when he signs his full name. That's Casillas. K-A-S-I-L-L-A-S. Maybe you didn't read that correctly, Rome. Jim, affect my head. Signed, Garrett Ritt at the hair transplant consultation. Signed, Nick Casillas in Westchester, California. Thanks, Nick Casillas. Dear Jim, on Dasmati's last day, did you and the XR4TI boo him while he walked out to his car? Signed, Colts fans. Brett from Bugaha. War Packer fan. Slamming the panic button after Barr and the Vikes shut Green Bay's offense down this weekend. Also, midnight green or space gray? That's strong. All right, he asks, midnight green or space gray? I think you know how I'm going to answer that, don't you? What do I look like? What do I look like? Do I look like a space gray guy? Do I look like a midnight green guy? They're going to break out a brand new color for the iPhone. Midnight green. You think I'm going to go in on that? All right, so once again, quote, also, midnight green or space gray? Yes. Yes, man, of course. Hey, Rome, if Triple G Greg says he never said that about Beckham, you gotta believe him. Signed, Drew Rosenhaus. Anthony Barr, Vikings linebacker, joins us when we come back.